This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Pocket picked. Hardaway had it stolen by Wall to Brown. Back to Wall, who dunks it down with the left hand.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through the Fan. The Mavericks lose to the Rockets 102-93 after beating one of the best team in the NBA. They fall to one of the, if not the worst team in the NBA, and the roller coaster of the Mavs continues. Gentlemen, what are we to make of this loss? And Mike, how mad would you get if I said that I kind of think that this loss is on Luka?
No, I'm not going to get mad. I totally understand where you're coming from. I'm not that mad about this loss either. Oh. It's a bad loss. It's not a good loss. It's a one on the schedule where you're like, you mark down as that's a win. The Mavericks were favored by 12 points. That's a huge number in the NBA when you're favored by double digits in a game. But it's a learning deal for the Mavs. I hate it. I hate that, Luka doesn't understand that game is important. That being said, I remember being in spring training, I believe it was 1998, and the Mavericks beat Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls. And that was a team, that was way better than the Dallas Mavericks. But, even the Chicago Bulls with an old Michael Jordan, the champion Michael Jordan, was like, oh, yeah, all we got to do is show up to Dallas and we'll win. And sometimes those teams that have nothing to lose get really excited to play and give their all. And if you don't give much effort, you end up losing these games. It happens to all the teams in the NBA. Unfortunately, last night it happened to ours. I made this during crosstalk. I don't know if the Mavericks, because they've never played in real playoffs, I don't know if they understand how important it is to try to get home court advantage.
Are you surprised at all that the effort, even though it wasn't there, you got all the way back to 89-89, and then the effort seemed to kind of die in those last 2 minutes? Like, that, there was that specific possession where Luka was going for the layup, the kind of the spin-around layup, and he missed it, and then he just kind of pouted out of bounds for a second and half-ass jogged back. Are you surprised that the effort wasn't there in the last 2 minutes when you still could have won, even though the rest of the game was meh?
Go ahead, Corey.
I was a little concerned about that. I'm also concerned about Luka pouting like that for a couple of minutes whenever his team is either A, relying on him, or B, not getting what it needs in other areas. That's the other thing. Let's say Dodo's not doing what he's supposed to do. Maxie's not doing what he's supposed to do, or not clutching up whenever that time comes. Man, you kind of have to have this look of, it doesn't matter, the train's still going. And when Luka does that, man, Rick's a big player in body language. I am too. And I understand that, Kevin. Like, when you're talking about that part of it, that's a big factor in how this team's energy goes, and he's the dude that leads the way. He has to be too focused, but he let it go. But I don't know. They beat a good team the night before. Maybe that focus was all there and all that energy was spent, or a couple nights before, that energy was spent.
Yep.
And I definitely feel what you're saying about, like, the in-game stuff. If it's afterwards and, like, he's pissed off that they're losing or they're about to lose or whatever, like, I don't have an issue with that. I'm just saying, you go back. Like, I decided to go back and track his last 2 minutes because I know it was a rough game for everybody involved. But There's 2:07 to go. It's tied 89-89. Over the next 80 seconds, the Rockets go on an 8-0 run in which Luka goes 0-for-2, has that foul on John Wall, which I thought was a terrible call, and half-ass runs back after that second miss. Because when he missed that layup, it looked like they were going to lose. Yeah. And that was the moment, to Corey's point, where he just kind of – he stood out of bounds for a second and then jogged back like he didn't give a damn about the game anymore. That's what bothers me. When you get mad that you're losing on the sideline, like, more power to you. But that was the part that bugged me.
I think when you come into a game – thinking all we have to do is show up, we're here.
Yeah.
And then you try to turn it on during the game and it sparks a little bit. I think it's tough to keep that spark. And you should blame Luka because he's the main guy. I give every game the Mavericks win, guess what? It's because of Luka. You know, and I'm not saying every game that they lose is because of Luka, but last night, when your leader comes out with lack of energy, lack of focus, lack of attention to detail, they followed him. And you, those guys aren't good NBA basketball players. At best, the rest of the team are average NBA basketball players. And, you know, they followed Luka's lead. And I do think they got really up and excited to play the Utah Jazz. That was marked on their schedule after losing by a combined 70 points in two games to Utah. And it was during coronavirus time for the Mavericks, but they got really up for that game. And they forgot they had another game coming up. And they thought, well, it's Houston. They're 2-27 in their last 29 games. All we have to do is show up. And when Houston came out wanting to win that basketball game, the Mavericks didn't know what to do. And they did. They finally got it together, like you're talking about, for a little bit to tie the game back up. But Houston wasn't going to quit because of it. And then the Mavericks are like, damn, they're not going to quit. Do we really want to put forth the rest of the energy to possibly win this game? We do not.
But the tough thing about this is that we're talking about it like it's the second game on a back-to-back. There was a night off in between. You know, like this, and I'm not, you know,
I think it was mental.
Yeah, and I hear that, and that's where I wanted to go with this, because I know we talk about the burden of leadership on Luka and all these things as the best player, even though I'm not entirely sure that he's, you know, like set up to be the leader guy in the way that we want him to be. Obviously, there's going to be some leadership in being the best player and like some of those things, and he needs to have some development. But I do think that's one thing that this Mavericks team lacks, is that veteran leadership and like someone who's going to be that emotional core that keeps them, you know, locked in those moments. You know, someone like, and maybe this isn't a one-to-one, someone like Udonis Haslem in Miami, where as much as he does not play, he stays on the roster for a good reason. That's because he keeps everybody accountable.
Okay, I do. I'm curious about this because I see where you are with this, because Luka's young, right? Like, he doesn't know yet.
And just turned 22. Yeah.
We're, you know, how often, Mike, are we putting him in the future category of best player ever kind of idea, right? Like, Jordan needed to grow up and say, nobody on this team will let me lose. I am going to be that dude. LeBron is that voice, I think, on a lot of his teams. He always has, you know, some sidekick, but he has somebody that he can say, I'm still the alpha to all the guys in this room. And I think when you look at the greater teams, that dude who is that guy takes on all those responsibilities. And nobody will let me lose. And I think at some point, maybe that's what we're talking about for the future in this playoff run. Mike, if the Mavs did lose, that's where Luka goes, okay, because Kevin, I said this earlier. When we thought Dennis Smith hated losing and would slit your throat for a win, that's what we used to say about Dennis Smith Jr.
I might have been off base about that.
I feel more like, yeah, no. I feel more about that with Luka than I've ever felt before, right? Well, like that's where I look at that, but there it doesn't. And maybe I don't see it. That presence doesn't exist yet. He still just enjoys basketball, and I'm really good. And at some point, he's got to rub off on those guys.
It didn't exist in Kobe. It didn't exist in Jordan. It didn't exist in LeBron at 22 years old. You know, I mean, Kobe at this age, I can't remember the exact year they won, but if you can remember, their coach, Del Harris, got fired because they're like, you guys are better than all of these teams, yet they couldn't beat Utah. They could, because like it wasn't there yet. It wasn't time for that to happen. LeBron couldn't at 21, 22 years old look at some of the veteran players on Cleveland and go, you either get your ass together or get the F off of my team, right? Dirk couldn't do it either, but eventually, as time passed, Dirk could scream at his own teammates, pick it up or get off of my team. Right. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, dude, I can't let this dude down, because if I let him down, I'm off of this team. And it's very tough. I don't know if anybody's been able to accomplish at 21, 22, the you don't do it my way, you're off of my team. And that's where, you know, I mean, I hate to say that's part of leadership, but it is. And you have to bring it every night for that to be the case. You can't be, if you don't do it my way, you're off of my team if you take a night off here and there.
How much does that, and I understand the age factor, but I saw this text, and that's why I think it's an interesting discussion, the 949. That's why I don't agree with Mike on Luka being the best player on the planet.
That's, That's a great argument. And I agree. I will say I agree with that. I guess I wanted steps to be skipped. And I agree with calling me out on that. Is over that five-game stretch and what he's shooting like, obviously he was horrible last night shooting the basketball. But
they all were, to be honest.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know what? This is something that I was talking about pre-show, and sometimes I think that we do a bad job collectively, everybody, you know, who watches the Mavs, where when it's good, it's all good, and when it's bad, it's all bad. And sometimes, like that Utah game, it really struck me like that was a game in which the Mavs made shots and Utah missed shots. Now, the Mavs did good things in that game, but this is also a game where it felt like the Mavs missed a lot of shots. Yes, there were some other things that factored in, and we could talk about those things and be right, but also I don't know that we necessarily need to go entirely down in the dumps on a game
right.
where there was a lot of missed shots.
Especially because when you talk about that roller coaster, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but in 5 days, you could be back on the apex of the roller coaster, right? Like, you have Milwaukee tonight, and I know Giannis is doubtful, and you're a slight favorite in that game. Then you got San Antonio. Then you got Philly. If you won all three of those games, especially the two against the Eastern powers, all of a sudden, don't you feel like that little dip has gone away? And you're like, well, they won 8 of 9 and everything like that.
And that's the hope, is that they are embarrassed of what happened last night. That was embarrassing what they did last night. And it's okay to say I'm embarrassed by my performance. I did it. I remember against the Milwaukee Brewers giving up 4 runs in the first inning, going into the All-Star break. To the media, I said that was embarrassing. I should be embarrassed at the way that I pitched. And luckily I got to stay on the team. Usually when I got embarrassed like that, I would go back down to the minor leagues. But it's okay to say that was embarrassing. I'm embarrassed about losing to the Houston Rockets and moving forward. I will say this, watching last night, Corey, your team, the Phoenix Suns, Chris Paul won't let those young guys lose that focus that much.
Yeah.
Because he's been through the battle and they all want to listen to him. You've been doing this for 15 years in the NBA.
He's gained their trust pretty
right.
well, too.
And like, Luka's way better than Chris Paul. Not Chris Paul's a future Hall of Famer. Chris Paul's doing a great job this year. Chris Paul's still an all-star in the NBA. Luka's way better at this point in their careers than Chris Paul is. But Chris Paul understands how to lead way better at this point than Luka does because he's been through it. He knows. He can be like, I can tell you why being the one seed or being the two seed is important. I can tell you why if you take nights off against crap teams in this league, how it can burn you at the end of the season when all of a sudden you're playing in LA instead of playing in Phoenix to try to win a series.
Do we think that the current iteration of the NBA and the way that it's very much driven towards, you know, talent and you're always looking for talent, but you're looking for skill sets and everything, and it's almost spreadsheet driven, kind of misses the characteristics and, you know, the chemistry necessary and more specifically that veteran leadership that used to be there? Because someone asked on the fan text, did early Magic have to do that? And early Magic played with a veteran team.
Kareem. He had Kareem.
Right.
The best player in the – he got put on the team that had the best player in the NBA.
And still got a coach fired in the process. Like, yeah. Let's not forget that. But to your point, and this feeds into something that Corey told us, I don't know, like 5 months ago. You're running – this is a really good thing. You're running two parallel experiments for that. When it comes to Brooklyn – Brooklyn, isn't that just a spreadsheet? They're like, let's just take all the best players and see what happens.
Yeah.
Well, they're in first place in the Eastern Conference. Then you look at Phoenix, where they're like, we got two up-and-coming, we think, superstars, and we're going to add that veteran mentality. And guess what? They're a game and a half away from having the best record in the NBA. So you're seeing two of those parallel stories play out right now.
Corey,
you said 5 months ago, watch out for Phoenix, and they might have the best record in the NBA.
Well, I just felt that Paul would unlock them a little bit, and it seems as if he has. And he's also a guy, Mike, that's got a chip on his shoulder, you know, like he has something to prove still at his late age. And it kind of reminds,
he still hasn't played in the NBA finals, right? That's probably something he really wants to do.
It's kind of like it almost has this Jason Kidd and like getting this other group of really good veterans. You know, y'all have the talent. We just have to see the game.
Yeah.
The other thing though is, you know, Kevin, you were talking about the schedule. And I know you want to beat the Spurs and the Grizzlies because they're kind of right there with you, right?
Sure.
So, like, you want to beat those teams. But if you walked away from this six-game stretch and beat the Jazz, lost to the Rockets, beat the Bucks, but then lost to the Spurs, and then beat the who do you got next after that? Beat the 76ers, but lost to the Grizzlies. What would you say about this team? You just beat three of the best teams in the NBA.
I would,
but
say,
you couldn't beat the other two, the other three.
I would say that's about par for my expectations. So rolling into the playoffs, if you told me you knew for sure what was going to happen, I'd be like, "Do you? Yeah. How?" I just saw them beat three of the favorites to win the NBA title, and then see them lose to three of the favorites to get Jalen Suggs and Cade Cunningham. So I don't know. So that would be. You know what? Now that's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah, this is a tough year to predict what the Mavs are going to do, because as soon as they got a super high on a 5-game winning streak, and you just I thought all they had to do was show up to Houston and they would win that game. A team that was 2-27 coming into that game, I thought you just show up, play decent basketball, and you'll win by 5 or 10 points. But they couldn't even play decent basketball. And the Rockets, I give their credit, they worked their ass off that whole game and beat the crap out of the Mavericks for the most part.
Give credit to Steven Silas as well. By the way, the former Mavs assistant, did you see he said after the game, "Without Luka, I wouldn't be the head coach of the Rockets right now," and I realize that. Like, so props to him for saying that, and definitely some credit to Luka goes there.
I still think Luka's awesome.
I mean, you should. You definitely should.